Hello, girls and boys. We are back for another episode of the Bible study, and it's going to be fun. I'll give you one guess as to where we are. JD, do you know where we are in the Bible study?
Let me think really hard for a second here. I'm going to take a wild guess. There's only 66 books. So, Genesis.
Yes, Genesis chapter 1.
Got it.
That is correct. You are good at this. Someday, we will be out of Genesis chapter 1, but not today.
Not today.
And it's going to be fun. But I remember on the last show, we were talking about Rapha. And so on this one should be interesting. But Rapha is basically the land of the giants. Okay. So you've looked up the Rephaim in Genesis 14:5, and you'll see that's actually like Rapha. That's in that area down there.
Okay.
So I just thought that was cool because we're here in Genesis, and eventually we'll get to the giants over here as well.
Okay.
Not the football team because we live in New York, but the actual giants.
Are you a Giants fan or a Jets fan?
They don't send me a check, so I don't bother with sports that much.
Either one of them? Okay.
No.
Just thought I'd ask.
Yeah. No. I live right by, the Mets over here. Far, right on the other side is the Yankees.
Yeah. So. Okay.
So we got both sides, and then there's always the war. Right here in the city.
There you go. Yeah, for real. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, whatever. So we do fly the drones a lot and around all those places. So we got a lot of shots at Yankee Stadium and Chase Stadium, City Field. Now, City Field is nice, actually. You know, it has the largest screen in baseball.
What's that?
And it has the largest screen in baseball.
One of those, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the big screen in the back is freaking huge.
You ought to see the one that Jerry Jones built in an AT&T Stadium for the Cowboys. It goes from I think the 20 or 30 yard line to the other 20 or 30 yard line.
That's the only one that's slightly bigger than this one, but that's not baseball, it's football.
Yeah.
So this is like second largest in sports, but the largest in baseball. It's ridiculous. It's like, anyway. So
all right, let's get to the Bible study. Okay.
Yeah. This is all cool. Right. So sorry about that.
Oh, you're all good. Right.
Little levity. Levity's a whole lump, but we're still good.
Yes, sir.
We're talking. I want to talk about the, man and how he was specially made, fearfully and wonderfully made, as we see in a lot of the works here. But the when we see, it says, we will make man in our own image and after our own likeness. So we're in Genesis, right? And that's one, let me see, 20. Oh, I just lost it again. Lights in the firmament and Oh, that's where it was. Yeah. So in 1:26 it says, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And that is we spoke about it briefly last week, I think, but it's two different things. In his image, okay, which means we kind of look like him, and after our likeness is more a word that's like he acts like us. Okay, and we talked about the Joseph case, and when he said, let there be, let there be, let there be, as light be, that's a Joseph case. In other words, it's a command and an adhesion contract where he just said, this is what's going to happen. So when he says, let us make man in our image, it's a cohortative case, which means this is a strong desire. This is something we really want to do. And there's a lot of things behind that we're going to look at today, and how man was made completely different from everything else, including the angels, by the way.
Yeah.
So you got a thought?
Well, I got to start with a question. You know me, I'm got to ask questions. This says, let's make man in our image. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that a reference in the very first book of the Bible to the fact that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are with God? The Holy Trinity, right there in the very first book of the Bible. Right or wrong?
Yes, absolutely. And here's the thing. We're not going to understand it. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, it's like the three states of matter. You got water, it's water, it's ice, it's steam. It's three different states of matter. And then I've heard people explain, well, me, you know, I am a son, and I'm a father, and I'm a grandfather. Okay, right, so there's right. like three different people, but I'm the same person. That is really, really like light on how to explain God, because if you're looking at a quantum level and you go outside of it, we do not have infinity in this universe. Okay, we can fathom it that exists, but we can't fathom the extent of infinity.
Right.
To for us to continue to go on, I can go on for a trillion gazillion years, and then it's like, oh well, we just started.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's unfathomable in actual practicality. So for me, that answered my question. You know, infinity plus infinity plus infinity is still infinity.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is we will not fully understand what the Trinity is until we get there.
Right.
But it's clear in the Bible that that's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. And all too often people say, well, you know, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, who cares whether you understand it or not? That's irrelevant.
It's a place to start. When you get confused, that's a place to start your research.
Yep. So it really is irrelevant whether you understand it or not, or whether you can wrap your head around it. God is God, and he's way outside, far and above, infinitely above all you can even imagine.
Right.
So don't even try. But they are three persons that are distinct yet one.
Right.
And there you go.
Yeah,
mind-blowing. So let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then he gives them the whole contract that we talked about, taking dominion.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. I wanted to look at this because this sets man as a preeminence. Because what happened before with, like, the animals and the fish and the plants and all that stuff? Do you remember?
They're there, but they're not really serving any purpose for anything or anybody at this point. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. At that point, now they were built. Everything was built for the benefit of mankind, including all the animals and such. So, Matthew Henry will bring up the point that says man was created after he created everything else, so he doesn't think that he helped create it.
Well,
which is probably right.
Maybe a little. There might be a little truth in that, but you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because now you can't claim, just like when he put Abraham to sleep, right?
Right.
You know, it's the same idea. Well, there's nothing. You know, you didn't do any of this. I did it all for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's kind of the same idea where it's like he created man afterward as his crowning achievement.
Yeah, that's how I looked at it. It was a crowning achievement. That's how I looked at it. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yep. So just start here. There's a lot to this, but I want to start here in verse 24, which is why I went there earlier. I was like, was it 24? It said, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after its kind, and it was so. So here we see the earth bringing forth the animals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah.
And then he says in verse 20, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament. So the waters brought forth the fishes and the fowl.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Especially the bird part.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I guess that's why birds can float on the water.
I guess. Yeah. Okay.
And we see that the plants, they brought forth plants as well. So here we see the earth. So he created the earth, right? And then the plants. And now all these things are coming from the earth.
Right.
So that is a little different than mankind, where he's like, well, I want to make man in our image. What do you guys think? You know, talking to himself. It's like, and it's a, like I said, a cohortative case. So it's now, hey, this is great. This is what I really want to do. This is
exciting.
Well,
think about it for a second, David. If it was just birds, if it was just birds and animals and frogs and cockroaches and everything else, and you know, that's, I mean, what would be the point? I mean, exactly. You know, whenever you really think about it, what would the point be to anything?
Yeah,
we had to be there in order for there to be order. You know, I'm not explaining it well. Yeah. I'm sure you can though.
No, you're getting the point. We've talked about that on a few shows already, where it goes from chaos to order, and chaos to order, chaos to order. So that just fits right in with that narrative.
Right.
And we also see here that it has nothing to do with the angels.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
It has to do with mankind. So there are some people say, well, Elohim, it means, you know, all the angels, and some people will go so far as to, even the heavenly council will say that this is it, but we're going to see that the, you know, the angels have a different role, and they were B'nai Ha Elohim, which means, you know, the sons of God, but it's not the bar, it's not the head of the house, it's not the the one who will be inheritance. So the direct creations of God, each and every one of them. And I know in the last show we talked about, when a relative dies, angel got another, or heaven got another angel.
It's right.
Like, no, that's not how it works.
No.
And remind me to look at Enoch chapter 15 later, too.
Okay.
But for now, in Jubilees chapter 2, that's where we see the angels were all created on day one. Okay.
Okay.
Now, I don't know why he didn't put it in the Bible. I guess it wasn't important at that point. But if, you know, we are to believe Jubilees, they were created on the first day, which allows for the angels to see the foundations of the earth. Because he said when the angels rejoice when he laid the foundation of the world.
Now, does that mean, another dumb question here, okay, because I'm not really familiar at all with the Jubilees, and you are, okay? But you said the angels were created on the first day, or at least that's what the book of Enoch says, I guess.
Jubilees,
okay. I'm sorry, I wrote down Enoch like he told me to.
Yeah, Enoch in 15, we're going to talk about them and their oikaterion.
But who's to say that the angels were created on the first day? Why couldn't they have been created like billions of years before, or you know, whatever. I don't get it.
The it's not a matter of could he have taken billions of years. Sure he could, but that's not what he said.
Okay, all right,
so we just got to go by what he said. And I often use this too when people say, well, now could God, you know, create the earth over a billion years?
I was just saying, as far as angels are concerned, I'm just dealing just with the angels. I don't know. The angels rejoiced when the earth was created, right?
When he laid the foundation.
When he laid the foundation. Okay. So that means that they had to have been there at least at that point. But I guess my question was, is it possible? Is it possible that they could have been created before day one? Or is that just, I don't know. I don't even know how to ask the question.
I mean, it's possible, but that's not what it says. And if we read day one here, basically he created the space-time continuum with light, and the darkness was there. And technically, the stars are all like representative of the angels. If we look, that's a rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah,
and they weren't created until day four,
right?
But the actual spirits, it says in Jubilees that they were created on day one, in Jubilees chapter two.
Okay, like now, I said, it was a stupid question. I had to ask it.
No, it's not really. It's a really good one, because you have to look elsewhere, because it's clear. You got to dig for these things to really find out where it is. And when you dig, you got to parse it out and say, oh, that one's no good.
Throw
that out.
Right, Right.
But here's the deal. It was the second day when it said God made the firmament and divided the waters which are above and the waters which are below, and let the waters be gathered unto one place and dry land appear. Mm-hmm. And it was so. Okay. So that was the waters above and below were on day two.
Right.
And then God said, let the waters under be gathered into one place and the dry land appear. God saw that it was good. Mm-hmm. And that was on mm-hmm. day three.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they're created on day one, they can certainly rejoice by day three when he laid the foundation of the earth.
Right. Right. Right.
It doesn't have to be billions of years.
Right. Right.
That's the point. Now, and when they come into existence, it's not like they're just like we know a baby the way they can't do anything. No, they were full of knowledge mm-hmm. at that point. So they would have understood all of this stuff.
Created that way.
And yeah, they're created that way. And I can somewhat vouch for that because I actually remember when I was a baby, before I could walk or talk or anything, I remember thinking exactly like I'm thinking now. With logic and reasoning. And I remember seeing an eclipse at the time. And in my tiny little mind, I actually thought, this was my exact thought, not in English though, it must be dark in this part of the world. Because yeah. we went down the street, it was dark. Uh-huh. And then when we came back, it was light again, like shortly later.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, decades later that I found out that there was actually an eclipse right about the same time. And I was like, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
A big eclipse over New Jersey around the time that I saw that. But I remember exactly that exact phrase. It must be dark in this part of the world. Mm-hmm. So I know that the cognitive abilities are there in tiny little humans as well.
Well, I didn't don't know how to move the body. For me personally, mm-hmm. I don't have early thoughts like that. However, you are not the first person that has told me that they do. My wife has a memory of being put in a car seat to go home from the hospital. Anyway, I'm just telling people out there, it's very, very possible. I don't know why God does it differently for everybody, but he does it differently for everybody. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, when we get home, we'll figure it out.
There you go.
Okay. So where the angels are different was my whole point, is where we're going. Men were mm-hmm. was created in his image and after his likeness. And this is another reason for that. The angels were created on day two and they watched all of this. Now the angels are not created in his image.
No.
They have roles and mm-hmm. they were basically to gather around the throne. There was angels of the lightning, angels of the rain, angels of this. Mm-hmm. So there was these angels who had oversee of all the different things that he created with light. He says, mm-hmm. okay, now I'm going to make this thing. And, Bible also talks about the angels were there to basically look after us. I forgot what verse it is, mm-hmm. but basically are they not to, look after men? So that's what they were created for, to kind of help us to navigate this whole creation thing as our kind of our helpers.
Yeah, I was going to say they're helpers. Yeah, yeah, exactly, helpers. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Yep. So, and that's what they were made for, and that's why they rejoice, and that's why Satan didn't like it. With Lucifer at the time, he's like, well, why do I got to work for these guys? Look at me, how glorious I am. I got these stones, and I got pipe music, and I'm really smart. Why don't you people all worship me instead? And that was the fall. That simple thought, bound him to an eternity of separation in a lake of fire, because that was not what he was created for.
Right.
So, and the angels weren't here either, and all the other animals. Now, check this out. Did you ever wonder this, JD? How many chickens did he make? And how many cattle? How many lamb? And how many things?
Yeah, I did think about. It's been a thought. I can't remember how many years ago, but it was a thought. And then, after you think about it for a little while, you say, well, enough. Uh-huh. Enough. would be my answer. He made enough in order for the world to, go forth and multiply,
Exactly. So here we are. we're looking at all the other animals, and it doesn't say he made one pair of animals.
Right.
It just said he made all the beasts, mm-hmm. and they're going to have rule there. So did he make, like, a gaggle of geese, or was it just, and, you know, one goose?
Yeah. Could it be two? Just two.
Or, yeah. Or just a couple.
Right.
And that leads us into the next question is, all right, why didn't he make, like, one cow and then take the rib out of the cow and make a female cow?
Hmm.
He made them automatically male and female.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he makes everything male and female. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a real difference. The earth brought forth these things, okay? And then they had to be male and female at the time. It's like you had to make a male chicken and a female chicken.
Right.
Yeah. Or they wouldn't have had more chickens.
Exactly.
And how many did he make? So I'm like, how come these questions aren't answered? I want to know these things. Put on my list. How many fruits per month in a tree of life, and how many chickens did you make at first? Was it one pair?
I gotta know. And David, I'm listening to your questions, and I know that, you know, when we get up there, it's going to be, you know, where all of our questions are going to be answered, but I can see you driving Jesus insane, asking questions just like that one. You know, how many chickens were there? Okay. I can.
Right. He's like, oh, hey, listen, we only got 1,000 years.
There you go.
It's like, yeah, I'll be quick. Be like 100. That's it.
I got a grandson that all he does is ask questions. He even gets awards from school for curiosity.
Oh, look at that. I love it.
Okay. Go ahead.
So he's going to know all this stuff, too. It's the same thing. It's a question. Why wasn't I informed?
It's beautiful.
Oi. So we're looking at this stuff, and we're like, wow, this is pretty cool. All right. So we're made special in his image.
Amen.
Now, as far as there's suppositions that the angels were made a long time ago, that's just because you can't wrap your head around, hey, they can be cognizant as soon as they're made.
Right.
You know, why do they have to be around for millions of years? Yeah. And then you got to create a gap theory to try and fit with science. And it's like, I don't want to marry the current scientific community, because previously all the scientists were Christians, and that's what caused them to be scientists, is they wanted to find out God's universe. Now, scientific community is all about trying to disprove God.
Right.
So we're not trying to merge that, the religion of scientists today, or evolution, that religion. We're not trying to merge that with what the Bible says. I couldn't care less what they say. Mm-hmm. If the Bible says one thing, that's the truth. And the bottom line is, all the science is in the Bible.
Yes.
All of the major scientists, including the quantum physics people, said, yeah, everything's in the Bible. And this is where we get it all from.
Mm-hmm.
And even Solomon, 3,000 years ago, said, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's nothing new under the sun back then, how much more is there today?
Oh.
Which means they probably had a similar technology in the past, and we just think we're smart. Really not. Okay. Now, I wanted to hit on the council before we head out of the second half. There's always that council of heaven, and that's where people come and say, the Elohim means all of the council, and they're making you after the image. But we are not made in the image of angels. We were made a little lower for a time, it says, and then, but we'll have rulership and authority. He was giving us dominion, even though we were created in a lesser state. Like, we can't fly around like the angels do at this point. So, and that's a whole nother bag of worms that you really can't wrap your head around until we get there.
Yeah.
But like 1 Kings 22:19 says, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. So we see a host of heaven standing around the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Job is a good one for this, too. We see Job when Satan came up and tried to bring a contract up to God and say, oh, Job, this and that and the other. But in Job 1:6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them.
Uh-huh.
Well, why was he allowed there, number one?
Yeah.
And then Job 2:1, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So he's got a case against Job, and he brings it up twice.
Yeah.
So there's at least two occasions where they have a gathering of this council.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Psalm 89, and we read 6-8, it says, for who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? See, this is where we get it. So people think, oh, this council, and oh, it must be talking about the council, and they're all going to get together, and then they're going to create an image of themselves all as a big team.
Mm.
Well, not so fast there, Spanky. Psalms 89:6-8.
Okay.
For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord, or Yahweh?
Uh-huh.
You know, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
Yeah.
O Lord God of hosts. That's Yahweh Elohim of the hosts, of the armies.
Yeah.
This is Yahweh Elohim of all the armies of heaven. Who is strong like Lord, like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? So this is saying he is the king. He's a creator of all of these other angels.
Right.
Who is like him?
Right.
And even in Matthew 25:31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And then Revelation 5:11, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. They're all around the throne.
Yeah.
So there is no one who compares unto the Almighty. So we're going to dig into a little bit more of this in the second half. But I really wanted to let everybody know that time is ramping up.
Yes.
You see what's happening to Israel. Everyone, the world is turning against them. So the time is short, and it could be your very own time or just the time on the earth. So I would encourage everybody, if we don't make it to the second half, just receive the Lord now.
Yeah.
But other than that, Lord willing, we'll see you momentarily in the second half of The Last Christian and the Comprehensive Bible Study. What do you say, JD?
We'll see you on the second side.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Julia Chapman. Heavy shelling has been reported in Rafah in defiance of a warning from U.S. President Joe Biden. President Biden says American bombs have been used by Israel to kill civilians in Gaza, as he vowed the U.S. will withhold some weapons if troops go into Rafah. In an interview with CNN, the president said bombs and artillery shells would no longer be provided if Israeli forces carry out an incursion of population centers in the southern Gaza city. Biden insisted that he wanted to make sure Israel is secure, supporting the country's Iron Dome with missiles. But his threat to block other weapons comes amid warnings that a ground offensive of Rafah would have dire humanitarian consequences. Chinese President Xi Jinping is wrapping up his first trip to Europe in 5 years, with a state visit to Hungary. The two countries are expected to sign a number of cooperation agreements on trade and infrastructure, and will discuss Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Alex Cadier reports from Brussels.
Well, the Chinese leader said that China-Hungary relations are now at the best point in their history, in a visit that will be seen as a thorn in the side of authorities here in Brussels. They see a rapprochement between Hungary and China as a potential increase of risks. Nevertheless, 16 to 18 cooperation agreements will be signed between the two countries in the next few hours. We know that Viktor Orban, the prime minister there, is eager to boost Chinese investment in his country, despite what the EU and Brussels might think. Alex Cadier, Brussels.
Russia marked the country's victory day on Thursday with a show of military hardware in Moscow's Red Square. May 9th marks 79 years since the Soviet victory over Nazi Germany in World War II. President Vladimir Putin says it's a day Russians hold dear to their hearts. In his speech, he accused Western elites of forgetting the decisive role played by the Soviet Union in defeating the Nazis and accused them of stoking conflicts across the world.
Revanchism, abuse of history, and an attempt to justify the current Nazi followers is part of an overall policy of the Western elites to stoke new regional conflicts, inter-ethnic and inter-religious enmity, to contain sovereign, independent centers of world development.
Taylor Swift's record-breaking tour arrives in France on Thursday as the pop star kicks off 6 concerts across Paris and Lyon. Ross Cullen reports from Paris.
Swift's Eras Tour finally comes to Europe, kicking off with 4 consecutive nights in the French capital. She will be playing in 12 different European countries. 30% of fans attending her Paris shows will be foreigners, and airlines have seen a jump in tickets from US fans. Ross Cullen, Paris.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Hey, everybody, we're back. Look at that. Laura's not back yet. Oh, well, JD, we'll have to wait for a little bit longer. But glory to God, he is on his way. So we were talking about like angels and stuff earlier than this. And, you know, we were commenting how angels are like big.
No, they're not. Like, they're not humans. You know, and that's, I think that's the point that I want to drive home, is that is they're not humans. I know when Jesus was on the earth, when Satan was tempting him, he said, you know, why don't you just call your angels, something like that, because, you know, if they don't even want you stepping on a rock, okay, I understand. Right. But one thing that I was watching some documentaries. I'm a big history buff. And during the 1967 war, Israel was attacked fiercely. They were outnumbered very, very badly. And these people thought that they were going to have no problem moving into Israel. But interviews with members of the other team, you know, members of the attacking army, they are on record as stating that, you know, here we are, we're moving in on Israel and all that. And all of a sudden, angels appeared in front of us. And it scared us so bad, we ran the other way. Now, this you know, this is not reports from Israelis saying this happened. It's not the IDF. It's not, you know, the country of Israel. This is the foreign people that were trying to defeat Israel. And I don't think that they did that to try to say that's the reason why we ran away, you know, because we're afraid of Israel. They were afraid of angels, I think. Yeah. Now, I'll let you comment on that, David, and then move on to wherever you want to go.
Well, what's wild is every time you see an angel show up in the scripture, what happens?
That scares
first
people.
Thing out of the mouth.
Yeah.
Like let's go into, let's say, Daniel.
Okay.
Now, actually, even like with Abraham and stuff. But check this out. So. Okay. Let's just say Daniel, for he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for I am from the first day that I did set mine heart to understand. Greatly beloved, fear not, in chapter 19. Mm-hmm. So what we, chapter 10, verse 19, and said, he showed up, appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. There came in again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. He strengthened me and said, oh man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Be strong.
Right.
So, every time an angel shows up, he's got to preface the whole conversation with fear not.
Yeah, right. So they got to be some fierce looking things. I mean, you know, I'm just, I'm throwing.
I don't know if they're scary so much as so giant and glorious. Or but, just, you know, if you're looking at Ezekiel.
Well, you know.
The wheel within the wheel, the eyes all around somebody, it, you know, and it's like.
All of a sudden in your face, you know, oh, gracious. Yeah. I know, I can understand the fear.
He's bright and shiny and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But what's really fun is now when he gets to Mary, right?
Right, right, right.
So he's here. So here he is. Let me see. Okay. So we're talking about the angel shows up and he comes to Mary And he says, let me see, fear not. So he's talking to her, and he doesn't say fear not in the beginning, because he's looking at Mary saying, oh, this is the chosen one who's going to bring, you know, the Messiah. This is going to be great. What happens? The angel comes on to Mary and talks, and she's like, ah! Fear not. It's me.
Sorry I scared you.
I'm coming to bring you the news. Because that's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
So he expected Mary to, like, get it. And then she's like, no, she didn't. So even with her. And then Joseph in the dream. He's like, fear not, Joseph. So even in a dream, they're scary.
Yeah.
In a good way.
That there tells you they don't look like. Now, I understand that they can take on any kind of appearance. I mean, they can appear as a person, right? But they wouldn't do that in those specific cases, because they would want everybody to know they are angels, right? If they come to you,
I mean, sometimes I've had friends who've seen them. Like, I've had one get in an accident and actually saw an angel kind of protect him while the car was flipping over and says, it's not your time yet.
Okay.
You know, and in a weird thing, because I usually don't do weird things like that, but I literally saw the front of my car just go through like it was invisible, the back of another car.
Oh, wow.
Because of the angel of protection.
Well, I had an angel of protection once. At least I think I did. I was with a friend of mine, and we were traveling down the highway, and it was raining really bad, and I lost control of the car, and it went off the side of the road and down into a ditch. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, now this happened in a matter of seconds, okay? All of a sudden, there's two guys that show up, and they've got this rope or cable or something that they put on the back of my car and towed it back out, and then they were gone. They left. Now, they didn't say they were angels or nothing like that, okay? They didn't say it, and I didn't even think about it for years, but looking back on it now, I'm convinced it was angels, because who does that? I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, and that really happened. I can assure you that one really happened.
Amen. And so we see a lot of that here. I found that verse about Mary too. Anyway, it says the virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph in Luke 1, starting in 27 of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. And the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in mind what this manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." He's like, I thought I had this.
Yeah, I love that. In verse 29, in the New King James Version, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting was this. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." That's awesome.
I can see her now. What are you talking about? Anyway, off of that. That was just funny.
There you go.
All right, so back to man made in the image of God.
Okay.
So we were talking about, you know, the earth brought forth all the rest of the animals and whatnot, and then the water brought forth the fish and the birds, but man was formed. Mm-hmm. So let's look at that. I think it's Genesis, and is it 2? He said formed. Yeah, let me see. I got so many verses up, I kind of lost track of them.
Yeah, I'm looking too, David. It's going to be, it looks like.
There we go. 2:7, that's it.
Yeah.
And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That is completely different than all the other chickens.
Yes, it is.
We don't know how many chickens he made.
Yeah, he didn't say anything about breathing in anything to anybody else except man.
That's correct. And that word there for formed is yatsar. And it's the idea of squeezing into shape just like a potter.
Okay.
So that's when he says, "Thou art the potter, I am the clay."
Right.
It's to mold into a form. So he didn't mold all the other animals into a form. It talks about he formed man from the dirt. So the other animals, the earth brought forth these animals. Okay, here's the animals. They just kind of popped out of the earth.
Right.
And the male and the female were already there. Mm-hmm. But here's one where he formed in the likeness of God. There were one. And, you know, some people don't really like this, but the bottom line is God has some female attributes, okay? That doesn't make him a mother God, doesn't make him a female. But when it says El Shaddai, that means the many-breasted one, which means that he's the provider. Mm-hmm. So he'll provide all that you need. But then, so man, Adam had that in him, but he took that part out.
Right.
And said, okay, this part, what I'm going to call female, and now he's going to want that back.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the picture we get. But that's why the Baphomet spirit is like that. It's trying to create its own merging of mankind back into one being, like a hermaphrodite. And that's an abomination because that's not the picture that God wants.
Right.
But remember, Satan cannot create anything new, nor can any of his fallen angels. All he can do is twist existing reality. So when they try and twist it and make things hermaphrodites and the Baphomet spirit having both male and female attributes, that's because he's twisting everything and trying to put it back the way it was when he formed him here, and then make his own man, if you would. It's always
He's just trying to confuse everybody. That's it.
Yeah, and usurp the contract that they took. He said that's why he tried to trick Adam and Eve into getting the contract back.
Yeah.
But along comes Jesus and said, well, I'll become that man and I'll pay off that debt.
Right.
Now you can't have it because it's paid.
Right.
And so everything along the way, the Matzaroth we talk about a lot, that was stolen. The whole picture was stolen. Everything was stolen and twisted. Right. So we see that there. But he formed Adam here and he like a clay and like a potter. In the clay. So that's pretty cool. And it was, if we look at, let me see, Proverbs 8:31. I got that up here.
Okay. You said chapter 8:31, right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I'm with you.
It says, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, my delights are with the sons of men. Completely forgot what I wanted to say about that. But that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
So let's go here.
Well, it says, then I was beside him as a master craftsman.
I was in the wrong verse.
There you go. I figured it was. Go ahead,
Dave. Yeah, okay. All right. That's what happens. All right. So the, and then Genesis 5:3, it talks about the same thing. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Uh-huh. So we see the same thing perpetuating.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In his likeness and after his image, the same thing that God created. So he created this to be perpetual.
Yeah. Which is how we look like our parents.
Yeah. And act like them.
Right.
Unless we fix it.
Yeah.
Okay, and then here's what we were talking about before. He made him a little lower than the angels, and they gave direction. In Hebrews 2:7, it says, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. So if we look in Hebrews, there we go. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, and put all that in subjection under him, and left nothing that is not put under him. Okay. And but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So we see that same thing here. Mm-hmm. God made man a little lower than the angels, and not in, it's not a bad thing, but lesser in rank. But then we see Jesus, who's the contract. Yeah, he had to fulfill the contract, so he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death.
Right.
Then he was crowned with glory and honor.
Right. Okay. Right. Now, David, I'm only breaking in here because you wanted me to at one point. And I don't know where you want to bring where you want to do this, but I want to remind you about Enoch 15. I'm not sure where you where you wanted to put that in, but
yeah, let's go there too, because I really brought up way too much already. And my mind is all over.
That's
the place.
Easy to do I'm when you're in the Bible and stuff. I mean, it's easy. It's easy to happen. Go ahead.
All right, so let's do this. Enoch chapter 15. Since we're talking about the angels, they were created on day one, like it said, and we don't have the same mission field. Angels are not created in the image of God, and they're not man. Man is his crown of glory. The crown of creation is mankind. That's why he was even, you know, wait until after all the other creatures were made. But Enoch chapter 15 kind of spits this out. And I want to preface this with, remember where Jesus was talking to him, and I think some of the Pharisees are like, hey, you know, this woman, she married this dude and then he died.
Oh yeah.
So with all the married the brother.
Yeah.
And then he died.
Yeah.
And then he died. It's like, well, number one, this woman should stop marrying the brothers. But number two, they're like, well, whose wife is she gonna be in heaven? And he specifically says to them in Luke 20 that you do not know the scriptures. That's very interesting to me. Jesus answering then said, the children of this world marry in 20:34 and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are children of God, and being the children of the resurrection. So this is where a lot of people misconstrue that, oh, Evan gained another angels.
Yeah.
No. Saying, okay, man was given to marry in this world, okay, and the angels were not, all right?
So yeah, I haven't heard any angels being married. Not one time is it mentioned angels being married.
No. Well, the supposition comes, this is the people who argue against you know, the giants and the Nephilim and the fallen angels coming down, because they're supposed to be watchers, they're supposed to watch over us. So people argue against the Nephilim, oh, they can't be Nephilim because angels, they don't marry, you know, and they're not given in marriage. Well, yeah, they're not supposed to. That's why they're fallen angels,
right?
And that's why they had this problem, and that's what we're going to see in Enoch right now is, that was the problem. They weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah. But one of these days, we're going to attack this angels coming down thing, too. And we're not going to do it today, but I'm just warning you guys, one of these times, we're going to talk about Genesis 6, and it's pretty crazy. Really is. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll touch on it today when Enoch 15. Yep, but we'll dig into that big time. Right. But they were the fallen angels. As simple as that. They were supposed to watch over men, and that's where we're going to get into Enoch. So, the most holy ones. I always back up. So we're in chapter 15, but in chapter 14, 23 we'll start. And the most holy ones, which were nigh to him, did not leave by night or depart from him. And until then, I had been prostrate on my face, trembling. And the Lord called me with his own mouth and said unto me, come hither, Enoch, and hear my word. And one of the holy ones came to me and walked with me. So here an angel comes and walks with Enoch.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. And he made me rise up and approach the door, and I bowed my face downwards. And he answered and said to me, and I heard his voice. Check this out. Fear not, Enoch. Thou righteous man and scribe of righteousness, come here, or so it says, approach hither and hear my voice, and go and say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to intercede for them. So let's stop right there for a second.
Yeah, explain that one.
The watchers were supposed to watch over men and intercede for them. That was the whole idea. That's why they were created. The angel of this and the angel of that and the blah, 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 blah. They were supposed to watch over men. Now these, and it lists them all. There was 200 and specifically in this specific incident. Mm-hmm. There was 200 of them. And they were thrown out of heaven because of what they've done.
Mm.
They went after the women.
Right.
And they went to Enoch and said, Enoch, could you please go talk to God for us? You know, tell him we're sorry.
Yeah.
Tell him, you know, we'll come back and we're repentant. So check this out. Here's the scene.
Okay.
So, and go, and so he's telling Enoch, go back to the watchers of heaven who sent you here, who have sent thee to intercede for them. You should intercede for men and not men for you.
Yeah.
Wherefore have you left the high, holy, and eternal heaven and lain with women and defiled yourselves with the daughters of men, and taken unto yourselves wives, and done like the children of earth, and begotten giants as your sons. And though you were holy, spiritual, living the eternal life, you have defiled yourselves with the blood of women, and have begotten children with the blood of flesh. And as the children of men have lusted after flesh and blood, as those also do who die and perish. Therefore, I have given them wives, that they might impregnate them and beget children by them, that thus nothing might be wanting to them on earth. So here's like, you die, so I'm going to give you a progeny. You're going to have children so you can continue your legacy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But you were formerly spiritual. And so now, as he's saying, the angels, you were eternal.
Yeah.
You were holy, living, holy, spiritual, living the eternal life. But you came down and slept with mortal women.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Now, I know that this is the book of Enoch. I know it's not in the Bible. And there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say, well, he's reading something that's not there. Okay, well, this is where I tell you to go and read Genesis chapter 6. Because when you read Genesis chapter 6 and then you listen to what David just said, you say, oh, he was right. I mean, I'm just giving you the cliff notes on it, but that's really what it's all about, right, David?
Yeah, this is more to the story. So we see that we're not made in the image of that angels were not made in his image, that man was made in the image of God and after his likeness. Amen. And were not made in the image of angels.
Right.
They're different.
Yeah.
They were living, you know, they had a job to do and like, hey, you're eternal. You're here. It's all cool. Right. With men, he says, I gave them wives so they can have kids and perpetuate the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, therefore, I have given them wives so they might impregnate them, beget children, so they not be wanting on the earth. And in verse 6, but you were formerly spiritual, living the eternal life and immortal for all generations of the world. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I have not appointed wives to you. For as the spiritual ones of heaven, in heaven is their dwelling.
Yeah.
And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth. That's where I got that from.
Yeah.
Because we talk about, people think, oh, fallen angels are demons. No. The evil spirits on the earth are the half-breeds. They're produced from the spirits and from the flesh.
Okay, I got a crazy question for you now. Because I do know of somebody that goes out and does these things where they go to haunted houses or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they try to raise a spirit. Right. I mean, you know, they try to call on spirits to come out or whatever. They see just stuff moving, try to photograph it or videotape it or whatever. Is that the fallen angels working still in the earth? What's that all about?
So from what I could gather, the watchers, they're supposed to look over us. Mm-hmm. So these are principalities and powers and spirits of evil, wickedness in high places. Okay. Whereas a principality over a nation does not need to inhabit somebody because it's an angel.
Right.
All right. However, the ones that want to inhabit people, you know, Jesus called them demons and he cast the demons out. He told them to get out. Did he say, just go fly away in the air? No, they really can't.
Right.
Because they're half flesh and blood.
They got to occupy something. Right.
They have to be in a body. Yeah. So if they're not in a body, they're locked in a pit. Until they can come in a body, and that's why they want to get into a body so they can walk around and experience what the body experiences.
Yeah, and Jesus kind of blew them away with the pig thing, right?
Yeah, because like, and then the pig went nuts, and then they're out anyway. He says, "Fine, go to the pig." Now what? So So here, these are the evil spirits that are on the earth. Now, the fallen angels are watchers, and they're not evil spirits.
Okay.
The demons are the evil spirits, gotcha. And they're basically the kids.
Okay. Okay.
And so when you see demon anywhere, it's a half-breed. It's a spirit of one of the Nephilim that was killed in the flood.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. And they want to inhabit a body. They're half fallen angel, half mankind.
So what you're just saying there is that these things didn't die. They live in the spirit. No, they live in the spirit world, and they're waiting for that final destination, the lake of fire and the hell or whatever.
And they're trying to change the rules a little bit so they can, and that's why they're trying to change everybody's DNA with certain injections you might get.
Yeah.
They're trying to change because then if they can do that, then they can inhabit your body if they make it strong enough. See, God, in his mercy, relived 900 years before the flood. It was in his mercy that he said, listen, these giants are taking over everything. And if I don't stop this, it's going to be a problem.
Right.
So he basically parsed down the earth and the living place that we're in. So our bodies wouldn't be strong enough to hold these demons anymore. And that we can see the body's just getting weaker and weaker over time.
Yeah. Didn't you say DNA is coming to an end or something? I mean,
DNA is falling apart. So they're trying to fix it all back up so they can inherit it.
Okay.
But we're closing in on the end. So let me finish up with this. Okay. And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits on the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. So they live on the earth. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies because they are born from men and from the holy watchers. See, men and watchers, and their beginning and primal origin, and they shall be evil spirits on the earth, and evil spirits they shall be called. As for the spirits in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth shall be their dwelling. And the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst and cause offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women because they have proceeded from them. So this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, you know, you don't know the scriptures.
Right.
Here's the funny thing. That concept is not found in the Old Testament. So what is he talking about when he says, you know, angels weren't meant to do this? He was literally talking about this narrative right here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, angels left their first estate. And it's not. So when he says this is scripture, you got to ask yourself, was this scripture? So let's jump over and we will. We're formed. It was out of the earth brought forth. But we're going to jump into Ephesians 2:10. Okay. And we're going to close the show out with that.
Okay.
And we'll start right up in the beginning. 2:4, for God, who is rich in mercy, for great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened us together with Christ, and has raised us up together to sit in heavenly places. And in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
So that is bringing us back to our original state, where God formed us for good works and to walk with him.
Amen.
So JD, what a beautiful time. We went way deep on this and now it's time to pick up.
Well, you know, and I apologize for taking up some of your time with the crazy question stuff. So we'll get more into this in next week's edition too, because I know that there's a lot that you didn't cover, didn't have time to, and we'll get there and I'll shut up more. So until next time, everybody, good night. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Jump right out, but put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.